The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Who will be lucky tonight? Are you doing, people of the regular chat? Warning, what you are about to witness is a comedic sketch that does not constitute a report of reality, but that constitutes a reflection, artistic production, with the intent of reflecting on the stability of couples. It includes elements of fiction that do not constitute legal statements, legally valid statements, or denials of rights, or denials of prior applications to any government program of the world. GG username says, knowing JF, this question will be resolved quick. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'm not going to reveal private details about my life and everything, but I do have one obligation, because I've been spending the last 2 years bragging about having a very trustable, wonderful girlfriend. If these things change, I must update the public, because you must not only see the happy sides of everything. There is a commitment on this show to the truth first. The truth first, even if it's ugly, even if it's Jerry Springer style at times, the truth first. And the truth is simply that that there is a standstill in a relationship with this person because of a massive betrayal. And that's really what it is. I mean, I have few rules, really. I am not a dominant husband in general. And this I say about all of my exes. They could be a little crazy. They could explore things on their own. They could be free to work or not to work. Really, I leave a space of liberty that I think very few relationships work that much. But there is a couple of rules. There is a couple of commitments. Like, don't steal Bitcoin. Don't lie. Don't break promises, you know, massive promises that our whole lives are built on. Don't kidnap children. And when these rules are broken, it is just, I can't let it go. I can't let my life become a life based in fraud and betrayal. I will say simply, without revealing details, that I believe in monogamous families with two parents, and this is what I've always been very much insisting on and very much being straightforward about. And there are women who betray that. They actually just care about getting your sperm. And then they deploy some tactic where they know that they will break your principles. They know that they will get to the point where you have to say, all right, we're done. And we're well beyond that point. We are in the point of absolute transgressions of an ethical nature. I have things to care about. I have things that are priorities in life for me. No, it's not cheating. We are talking about so much graver than this. Cheating means nothing if there's no baby coming out, really. Cheating was worrying 100,000 years ago when you didn't have DNA test, okay? No, we're talking about massive transgressions where, holy shit, I'm fucking happy that I have all these security layers for my Bitcoin because, holy shit, I could have lost it all. And so, amazingly, I get out of this relatively unfeathered, but it was an attack. I don't think it was governmental, but I think it was an attack by someone who pretends to be something that she wasn't. By the way, there's lots of women out, and I'm not. There's lots of women out there who don't know who they are. Okay, and there are women for whom moral transgressions are basically a lifestyle, and it's they have different segments of their consciousness are capable of self-deceiving, thinking that they are good. They will spout Christian conservative talking points, but down the line, they're not different from a SJW with pink hair. It's the format. It's wrapped in sugar. It's wrapped in sugar. And generally, and getting out of this particular case, generally, I am worried about the direction of Christians in the U.S. I am worried about the massive psychopathic inducing filtering that it is when all you do is Jesus, 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 and all you do is displays. What kind of people are you going to attract with this? You're going to attract people who are into the display, who are into looking trustable. And very dangerous what's happening, because you would think that Christianity may be the kind of safe harbor to find people of trust. I believe that we are headed toward actually Christianity, certain branches of it in the U.S., being actually honeypots for psychopaths and honeypots for people who simply have no honor whatsoever. And I believe it is tied to this whole Jesus thing, ultimately. I believe if you train someone so much to just say Jesus and say Jesus and say he's our Lord. And yes, we have to talk about Erica because it all ultimately ties into this. There is also an awakening happening in the U.S. in which people are realizing that, I don't know if I'm with this forgiving thing that much. You know, I don't know if I forgive the rapist of my daughter or, you know, I don't know if I forgive the next day the guy who killed my children. Forgiving is a bizarre. There's a couple of bizarre concepts in Christianity that deserve some attention. Nick Martel says, Jeff, are you really saying you don't care if other men fuck your girlfriend as long as she don't get pregnant? I'm not saying this. I'm saying there are graver moral harms. And we are in the domain of graver moral harms here. We are in breach of absolute foundational promises to a couple that is even more violative than, oh, I was drunk and I got fucked by a guy. Of course it is bad. I hate cheating. I really hate cheating. But there are things that I hate more than cheating, let me tell you. There are things that hurt living human beings that I think are way beyond this. The Jack Acid says, Jeff, you should join one of the CQ spaces on X. Adam Green and Big Tech are there often. But I don't join spaces uninvited, because I think I am a good public speaker and I can deliver good content. But I'm not there to chill. I'm there to produce a product. I'm an artist. I am a thinker and a scientist. And I really hate this whole let's hang out.
Oh, yeah, so what? So Israel and, yeah, the Jews and, so JF, what do you think about that? This is not good production. If they could only spend 5 hours of research before they do these things. And it's not a comment on Adam's green space. I don't even know. I never watch these things. So maybe he's good. But in general, the space domain is low quality fucking crap. So yeah, I mean, when we are faced with betrayal, there's not much to do but to wait that the betrayal be fixed in full. And then some, I would argue that, once the betrayal has happened, you can't let them get away with just a bit of what they've done, because it's like asking for partial reimbursement from a thief. No. So you have to just put limits and understand that, yeah, most women are crazy and they will go into psychosis at random times that advantage them, where they know they have leverage. They're going to try to use that leverage against you. And you should protect yourself. And the way you protect yourself is, well, there are a couple of things. You protect yourself by not letting them acquire any sort of power. You only give them the Bitcoin cards that you're ready to lose. You know, it's like if you have $1 million of Bitcoin, you give them a card with $10,000 of Bitcoin to test them. If they get away with the 10,000, then you have what's left. Also, evolutionarily, we need a punishment for single women with single children who are actively sperm hunting. So, and this punishment is there. So this is not something we have to work out as a society. It's kind of operational already. The fact that a woman fleeing with a single child is diluting her genetics at 50% means that she is headed toward extinction. So if you're not in the business of having 7-8 babies, you're not even in the game of being alive in 1,000 years from now. This may be a very depressing thought for the young men out there, but it's like, yeah, you guys know how hard it is to get a family, to have 1-2 children. If you're not in the game of 7-8 children, you're not in the game of being alive in 1,000 years from now. You're most likely going to extinction. But if you're in the game of having a single baby, then you are actively headed toward extinction. So thankfully, these people who are using these females who are using the advantage of family courts in the U.S. and the asymmetry that they have, they're really raising an abortion in happening. They are raising an evolutionary dead end, and their punishment ultimately is that you don't inseminate them a second time. You don't inseminate them a third time. It's like the Bitcoin cards, you know. You give a little sperm, you see what she does with it. And it's sad that it's that way, because really there would be nothing keeping society from involving fathers. Okay, you got betrayed by your wife, but we're still going to let you see your child 50% of the time. But society can't do this. Because of jurisdictions, because of family courts, because everyone wants to keep people in their state and they want to keep these single mothers in their state so that they can get federal grants. And it is all extremely sick. Even if you were genuinely involved in fixing the problem of family courts, you wouldn't know where to start. Because it's like,
well, the family courts are operated at the state level. What if you have an interstate sperm hunter? What if you have an inter-country sperm hunter? There's always going to be the state where she's advantage, and they're going to want to keep her and keep the baby so they can get these food stamps into their economy rather than the economy of the other state. So there's this constant war that actually the family court system is not fixable until the Supreme Court says, no, parental rights are a thing, and you're going to have to honor it for everyone, men included. Frog Eyes says there is this famous car YouTuber, Tyler Hoover, who got 2 years ago a vasectomy, then a divorce, then he got a new supermodel wife. I always wanted him to get reproductive JF pill. Yeah, I'm not getting a vasectomy, it's interesting to look. It's interesting, this feeling when you are abandoned by your loved one. This feeling of freedom and of looking at the young woman out there, dreaming of an insemination streak of 10 babies, you know. But at this point in my life, though, I do not need further reproduction. I have plenty of babies out there. I would only take at this point extremely top offers. I don't even know at this point if there exists a woman on the planet that I would take. Certainly I'm open to offers, but I will not solicit offers, and I will certainly not get out of my way to find insemination targets, because the fact is, I really thought that this one was honest, and I really thought that I could just lay out, here's my life, here's how it works. And no, it wasn't possible. It seems that there is no such thing as a commitment. Give me 1 second, I'll be back. Frog Eyes says, long distance relationships don't work. I mean, the thing is, they work from the male side. Females are just psychotic. If you had antipsychotics to neutralize the female side of her mind starting to think, oh, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about me. He's evil. He's not there. He must be with another woman. If you can have good antipsychotics, remote relations might work. Anonymous has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for the donation.
Hey, JF. So sorry to hear. Thought for sure you'd ride off into the sunset with the 10/10s. What's made you change your mind about finding another mate instead of remaining post-woman? Is she at least going to leave you peacefully? Wish your fam the best.
Peacefully is a very... it's a very inappropriate context here. It is as aggressive as it can be. Thankfully, I am preventive in my management, so... Thankfully, she cannot create too much damage, and she wasn't able to. But now I'm not post woman. See, I am just only interested in very, very high quality, very high morality woman, which I don't know that it exists. So in a way, you could argue I'm post woman. I mean, in the end, it's always that you reach a standard point where you're satisfied with your current life. And at the same time, no one out there is really deserving of affecting that life, of risking it, because I have children that I care for very much, that I love and that are important to me. These things cannot be broken. These things are fundamental to any relationship I engage, and I am super outward about it. I make it very clear at the beginning of a relationship, but some women, they will say yes in a context. They will accept everything you tell them. But then when they get leverage, when they get power, when they got a little money from you, they feel a little more loose. Now they feel that they can come back on their initial promises. And that's something to be aware of if you're a man and dating the landscape, in the landscape of dating. You're going to have to protect yourself in massive ways to not be hurt by this. Most women do not have a concept of contractual commitment. It's literally you have to hold them in handcuffs, or they're gonna just vibrate randomly away. They're like Brownian motion little atoms. Farting Irish sends $40. Thank you so much for the amazing donation. He says, Jeff, describe your ideal woman and let's all manifest it like a new age hippie woman with a mustache and cat. My ideal woman simply truly wants to be a mother as part of a father and mother family. My ideal woman is thin and beautiful, if we want to go ideal, although I am willing to be tolerant on this because I am fat myself, so I will not demand more than I deserve. My ideal woman is just a woman who has respect for the idea of a man. And not many women. There's a lot of sick women out there that live a kind of genocratic life, sometimes with their mom, sometimes they lived female couples for too long, and they become crazy. They become hateful and bigoted against males. And, you know, the bigotry against males, it's not just, oh, yeah, I accept males. Look, I'm with a male. Oh, I have a male friend. No, the real acceptance of males is the full acceptance that they will do things that you hate. They will do parental things that will annoy the fuck out of you. And you're going to have to shut the fuck up about it because it's their right. And you don't have the solution to raising perfect children. You may think you do, but you're a fucking stupid woman and you don't. And this is demonstrated statistically. Children from single mother household are more likely to end up being the victim of crimes. Why? Bad real estate decision. Hanging out in black neighborhoods. Not moving when there's a demographic change in your neighborhood. So women, they stay attached to wherever they are, and they're unable to progress in life, unable to get to a better point, which is why they're always in need of money. They're funded by the state. And it's like, okay, eventually the lemon dries and they become nothing. And they are unable to maintain financially any sort of growth. So they're headed toward just less and less and less, until they become meaningless, and until it's a stochastic question when a random black guy will kill your single child. Frog Eyes says, finding a woman is easy. Step one, become high profile, e-celeb. Step two, check your DMs. That's pretty much what it is. That's pretty much what it is. I am not kneeled or feel destroyed by this, simply because I had taken the security precautions so that so that if a betrayal was to happen, even if the person in the circumstance was showing extreme signs of pleasantness and willingness to submit and willingness to live a Christian lifestyle, where I would be the leader and she would be following, but that wasn't it. That wasn't it. As soon as the mask fell, as soon as there was an opportunity, it was betrayal and massive ones. We have now Nick Fuentes porn fantasy books. How do I set the monitor? Let's see. All right. Nick bent down to help me up. His soft cock inches from my face. I felt myself going red. Damn, I didn't know brown girls could blush, he said. I hadn't said anything until this point because it all felt so dizzy and surreal. Nick helped me remove my clothes and get into the shower with him, where he cleaned my face with the running water. It's a good thing you aren't wearing makeup right now, for more reason than one. He smiled. I couldn't believe I was up this close. A brown woman fantasy about, I don't know, about a blowjob of Nick Fuentes. Holy shit. As Asuka Griper was pointing out, we need a pause on woman until we can figure out what the heck is going on. John Drake says, yes, I recommend three books, The Price If Tomorrow, The Fiat Standard, and The Bitcoin Standard. I also recommend the YouTube channels Bitcoin University and BTC Sessions. AquacNote says, Jeff, did you lose a significant chunk of BTC or are you fully protected? I will not comment on this, but my protections have been operational. To a satisfying degree. The Trump administration's autism action plan, informing doctors and families, the FDA will issue a physician notice and initiate a safety label change on acetaminophen. Research shows a potential association between acetaminophen use during pregnancy and adverse neurodevelopmental outcomes. Prudent use is needed during pregnancy and for infants and toddlers. Well, I think it's a good thing, but it's probably not going to have a massive effect down the line. I would be surprised if we get massive effects, simply because these things are at the statistical border of detectability. And it's not like you take acetaminophen, you get autism. It's more like maybe there's a link, maybe there's none. So I don't think that this whole idea that there is an autism action plan at the White House is kind of ridiculous to me. What needs to be reviewed is the looseness of the standard of the diagnosis of autism. It's the paths of money that are rewarding certain decisions from doctors to do the... because you end up having so much pushed into autism. At this point, we have basically retards being designated as autism simply because the system of health insurance made it very easy, and forced by the federal government to an extent, to all reimburse all of these tests and these efforts deployed onto fixing autism. And there's not even a measure by which it's actually improving. It's like, okay, you're passing kids through all these mass training of here's how to display normie behaviors. You're attempting to basically train into the autistic kids to react in certain ways socially. There's no evidence that this does good. Now, of course, at the end of it, at the end of the training, you're going to measure whatever it is that you train the autist to do, and it's going to have increased the pro-social, facial expressions will have increased. The engagement of eye-to-eye contact will have increased. But you've increased this in the same way you would increase it if you had trained a squirrel to do it. The squirrel doesn't care about you, but you can train a squirrel to look at you in the eyes. Just give him enough food and maybe cocaine. Aquac Note says, Jeff, when we talk about retards, are we talking about people with Bell palsy, or what actual condition is what we see when we see a true retard? No, definitely not Bell palsy. Bell's palsy is truly just a facial disruption due to a cranial nerve, if I remember correctly. But when I talk about retardation, I talk about developmental delays. It often gets classified into developmental delays, school learning delays, intellectual deficiency, or autism. And very often it gets placed in autism, but it doesn't belong there. Frog Eyes says, Jeff, is your title thumbnail today just a troll, or will you be plucking a new girl to save her from herself from your DMs? I never know if it's a troll, because I don't know. Will betrayals be repaired? I don't know. Maybe the person I'm dealing with right now, maybe she changes her mind and she realizes her wrong. Maybe she contacts me tomorrow and she resolves it all. But I don't know. Is at some point the market will not want me anymore. I mean, I'm becoming an old man. At some point, there's going to be a point where the 19-year-old says, Jeff is too old. I love to think that somehow we're not there yet. I love to think that I still have mileage. But at some point, anyways, any sort of engagement with new woman will be extremely, I have to be cautious. I have to make decisions for myself first and my existing family. That is what I protect first and foremost. That is why all these layers of security are there to insulate me from damage caused by outside agents. Farting Irish sends $20. He says, are you familiar with the work of Sami Temimi? He is critical of what he calls the mental health industrial complex, and is critical of the ways that autism and ADHD and other disorders are diagnosed. I'm not familiar with him, but I totally agree. There is a huge problem in the way we handle mental health. There is an industry of it. The diagnoses are not very precise. They sometimes fail. The medications are sometimes not interesting, or they have too many side effects. It is a very painful, it's not a knock out of the park like Headaches, you have your headache pills, they're going to resolve the headache most of the time. But the domain of mental health enters into all sorts of complex branches. And the reality is often we just don't know how to help. We don't know how to help your retard child. We can just try, but... We can try a little bit like the professors would have tried in his elementary school and at the high school. There's not going to be a miracle cure. There's not going to be a pill that will fix this. Now, there's going to be a pill that maybe reduces his violence, and maybe it's good sometimes, but those pills are going to come with massive downsides, and people are pissed and they stop taking their pills, especially the schizophrenics. So it's a tough field. it's a tough field with a lot of delusions and a lot of false hopes that, oh, let's go to the doctor. The doctor is going to make it better, right? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if we've reached that point in mental health. There are certainly times where they make it worse. There are certainly times where too much attention given to mental health, rather than just embracing human diversity. Consider the very relaxed approach of saying, you know what? Everything is a trade-off. Sure, you have a schizo brain. You think that ghosts are coming out of the walls. But maybe that makes you a good artist down the line. Maybe that makes you a good mathematical thinker down the line. Maybe you're autistic and you don't like that much social interactions. But maybe that isolation allows you to become a giga expert of something. Why not embrace all of this diversity rather than combat it with very often makeup artistry? Because what we're putting on to the autistic children right now is like masking, look like someone else that you're not. And it is mimicry of an absolutely questionable value. Making therapeutics available. The FDA will act to establish the first recognized therapeutic, leucovorin, for children with cerebral folate deficiency and autistic symptoms. Following FDA's action, state Medicaid programs will be able to cover leucovorin for autism spectrum disorder. NIH will launch confirmatory trials and new research into the impact of leucovorin. See, it's like, what's the amount of autism case that is folate deficiency dependent? How much do you think you're going to fix with this? Because folate, okay, is a necessary nutrient, but we've been stuffing pregnant women with it. That is one of the big items that you will find in a prenatal vitamin. So children are like stuffed with this throughout the pregnancy. Now we're going to stuff them with it throughout their childhood. Oh, you got diagnosed with autism? More folate. There's going to be a cost to pay down the line with this craziness. And the idea that, okay, leucovorin, so it helps. It's going to help those children that would have become autistic because of folate deficiency. Is that 0.0001% of the population? I don't know the numbers. But something tells me it's a very small problem, and something tells me that if you're that retarded that your child is eating Cheetos only diet and therefore lacks folate and becomes a retard, maybe we shouldn't save those genes. You know, maybe we should just let it go. Because what do you do? Well, you just farmed further Cheetos retards into the next generation. What are they gonna do? They're gonna need leucovorin too, because they don't have the right preferences for nutrition and the right decision making in their brain to obtain leucovorin, to obtain the folate that they need. And then they will, of course, increase research investment through the Autism Data Science Initiative. NIH will be funding 13 projects totaling more than a $50 million investment to transform autism research. throwing money at the problem. More money. It's always more money. And it's like, when do we do less money? If you were to just chop the autism diagnosis budget of the U.S. by 50%, we'd get less autism. We'd hear less about it. And people might develop an understanding that, hey, it's not that bad. Why do you want people to be hyper-socialized? Why is that a problem? Why is that even a disease to begin with? And Rock and DSL brings up the Amish. Absolutely. The Amish have been brought up by Trump. There's absolutely no autism in the Amish. Well, it's like, and you had RFK Jr. saying, I don't know. The thing is, the Amish are a society that is an example of a society that has been cognitively opened enough to neurodiversity that they said, no, we're not going to go solicit a diagnosis from the state. And there's probably equal amounts of autism or close to it in the Amish community, maybe even more. But you'll never know. You'll never know because they won't go to the doctor. And maybe they got the right decision. In fact, there was an article, very interesting article, with a title that is very powerful. I'm trying to find it here. The Amish, a control group for techno-feudalism. Absolutely, that's what they are. They are a control group for when your society goes crazy, go back to the Amish and measure if you're actually doing better than them. Even if you're doing worse than the Amish, then that means you took the wrong path somewhere in your technocracy. You started caring about stuff that didn't matter. Yuki Maru was sharing his view on the dating sector. The normie mind is just not mathematically literate enough to understand how bad the dating market is for the average-looking man, assuming not rich or famous. Assuming his skill at talking to girls is reasonably good, not a professional salesman or PUA. If the average-looking man starts asking girls out face-to-face, not through screens, the chance he won't get outright rejected is less than 5%. Absolutely. We've had people in our own crowd attempt to just... And they got... At times, they got pushed out by the police from neighborhoods. They got chased out. Like, they just set up on a college campus or on a street close to a college. Try approaching every woman you see. And it's like, yeah, it's less than 5% you're going to get any kind of engagement. Assuming, but in the very unlikely event that a girl agrees to a first date, that's not where the average-looking man's troubles end. If a girl agreed to the first date with an average-looking man, the chance she cancels it or flakes is at least 30%. Then, if a girl shows up to a first date with an average-looking man, the chance that she agreed to the first date just to get a free lunch and has firmly decided not to get romantically involved before the first date even happened is at least 30%. Now, let's say the average-looking man got super lucky. A girl agreed to the first date, actually showed up, and wasn't there just for a free meal. Now, what's the chance she is not in major debt, not a single mom, and doesn't have a terrible temper? Suppose a miracle occurs and she showed up to the first date and she has none of the issues above. Now, what's the chance she agrees on the second date? Yeah, bro, we are far into the labyrinth of impossibility. That is why the dating market really sucks. And I know I have it easy. I have it easy because I took risk in life. So I think I deserve to have it a little easier. But it is absolutely asymmetric. Like, a guy that looks like me, but that doesn't have the whole edgy challenger of the system type of attitude, has no chance, absolutely no chance to do anything. So I took risk and I got rewarded for it. There is goods and bad in my life coming from these risks I've taken. This is the time during which The Onion was still funny. This is fucking funny.
But first, in today's tough economic times, money stresses can really be overwhelming.
Yeah, but help is on the way. Author Christine Eckert is here to show us some exercises to reduce stress. Hi, Christine.
Good morning. Hi, Jim and Tracy.
Christine, I'm so glad you're here. I'm about ready to snap.
She is.
The first thing we're going to learn about is problem visualization.
Okay.
It's a simple method for reducing stress by assigning an image to represent your anxiety.
Well, that sounds simple enough.
Okay, the first thing I like to do is imagine my money-related stress as the most disgusting, terrifying creature creature I can think
okay.
of. I like to imagine an ugly, greasy little creature with a hooked nose and oily black hair.
Oh, he is scary.
I call him the Grabbler because he's a greedy little monster who wants to grabble up all my money.
Ooh.
Now close your eyes mm-hmm. and picture the Grabbler.
Okay, there he is.
Now think of all the problems your Grabbler is causing. He invented interest rates like the ones on your credit card.
Oh.
He's taking the jobs because Grabblers only hire their own kind.
I just want to get rid
of
him.
Now imagine the Grabbler slowly disintegrating like a pile of ashes blown away by a purifying wind. And now you're in a peaceful meadow full of lilies swaying in a gentle breeze.
They're
not scheming or trying to rob me.
Oh, well, that really works.
Ooh, what a relief.
They're not scheming and trying to rob me.
I feel so relaxed.
Now, this image visualization works for other kinds of stresses besides
exactly.
money, right?
Say you had an argument with someone at work. Take that social stress and visualize it being due to a blabbler.
Blabbler? Ooh. Well, look at that.
Blabblers represent all that negative energy we experience when dealing with difficult personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kinds of people who love to argue and complain in nasal voices.
Oh, I know
yes.
people
and
like that.
Stresses are everywhere,
right.
too.
Right, they
yeah.
are. They're always lurking like rats. You know, that's why sometimes meditative exercises aren't enough. So take your mind off your stress by doing something good for yourself.
Oh.
Exercise.
Oh, I know.
Okay,
I feel better after my yoga class.
Right, right.
I will often go for a long walk in the middle of the night and throw flaming bottles at certain houses or even sneak in through the back doors and light their curtains on fire while they're asleep.
Working up a sweat to rid yourself of that stress. All right, well.
I love the imitation of a mainstream show. It's very well done. One of the biggest problems, unaddressed problems of society is female greed for control over children. Their absolute willingness to tolerate any form of male cognition-oriented parenting. Nothing will fix this other than legislation to keep this anti-male bigotry under control. We have to develop punishment for single moms that are essentially just incapable of tolerating that a different mind with different ways of valuing the world is actually not worse than your view. It's actually better to begin with, and it's necessary for the development of children. But Jones says, JF, do you think they are pathologizing autism because it allows people to see through Jewish lies? That's an interesting question, because our autistic people have different morals, okay? This is known. There's a PNAS paper about autism and morality. And autists have a outcome-based judgment of people. So what does it, that doesn't mean that they are consequentialist like the utilitarians. So to be a consequentialist and a utilitarian is to say my philosophy of what is good and bad is based on the consequences of an action. That's opposed to the deontological view of ethics. And that view is, no, it's not the outcome of the action that matters. It's the set of principles at play. So, for example, the consequentialist will say that killing baby Hitler is a good thing. It's a good thing because there's less Hitler after and less hate, and down the line there's less violence. And so it doesn't matter that I had to kill a baby Hitler, I caused less violence. So that's the consequentialist view. The deontological view is, no, you never kill a baby. You don't kill a baby. The baby hasn't done anything. It's wrong to kill a baby, period. The autist morality is a very interesting combination where it's deontological in nature. Autists care about principles and their respect. But it's outcome-based. You don't get to bullshit me about your love and your I care about you and your I really want to fix this. And it's going to be okay. The autist wants the next step, the action. If you don't reach that action, you're in the bullshit domain. As long as you're in the bullshit domain, the autist doesn't buy it. So it is very important. And so you ask, maybe we are politically starting to target artists. And perhaps this form of morality is more stringent onto the elite. And yes, I think that your hypothesis is very provocative. I wouldn't go as far as to say that it's correct, but I also wouldn't go as far as to say as it's completely invalid. It's very interesting to think that we may be entering in the march forward of hyper-socialization, and I want every children to be vaccinated and pediatrically cared and blah, blah, blah. In this march forward, we may be trying to up the artists, the kind of the remaining population that remain behind the hyper-socialization spree, because they're different. And because, yes, ultimately, they are political opposition to the current technocratic direction of society. Yes, I think it's very important, because we're ultimately down the line, we are in social engineering of cognition. We are in, the normies are so unsatisfied by how autistic the artists are that they want to fix them. But why isn't the other way around? Because as an artist, I'm annoyed by how the normies behave, and I'm annoyed at their lies and their lack of structure and lack of thought and lack of straightforwardness. I would fix the normies my way. Bob Jones says, JF, after all, aren't the Germans the people who are the most stereotypically autistic? Yes, I guess that is an interesting observation. There was the Charlie Kirk Memorial, where there was some controversy around what people said at this memorial.
Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man, that young man, I forgive him.
What does that mean at this point? Someone was pointing out, what does forgiving even mean? And people are arguing a lot about the meaning of the word forgiving. I think it's one of these very unclear concepts. Cringe Panda is on the regular chat. Of course, she's here. When we are rolling the Wheel of Fortune, Cringe Panda just shows up in my regular chat, of course. I'm just joking here. She says, Jeff, a possible answer to the question in your stream title. I hear that there's this war going on in Ukraine and beautiful women are dying to get out. I don't know how it worked for Coach Red Pill, though. Oh, yeah. I was actually today, I was at a restaurant somewhere with the family, and I saw this beautiful Ukrainian, I mean, she was Eastern European, thin, coming in the restaurant, and she had an accent that was either Russian or Ukrainian. I cannot recognize the subtleties of them. They are bodily, their bodies are extremely interesting, the Eastern Europeans. They are truly the only white woman that are capable of being that slender and for that long and to that extent, and yet being very high. They are tall and slender. It is perfect body for me, but I didn't approach that particular Ukrainian. Aquac Note says, save a Ukrainian woman from getting Irina'd, JF. Yeah, I'm gonna... I'm gonna go in the city. I'm gonna go in the city, roguing across random bosses, looking for my Irina to save. Brilliant idea. People were saying that Stephen Miller had a divisive speech. He was talking about, we are the productive people, you are the haters, you are the terrorists, you are the people who destroy society, you cannot fix it.
Into fire in our hearts. And that fire burns with a righteous fury that our enemies cannot comprehend or understand. When I see Erica and her strength and her courage, I am reminded of a famous expression. The storm whispers to the warrior that you cannot withstand my strength.
Who is Stephen Miller, says new guy? Well, Stephen Miller is in charge of immigration and staff, I think, under Trump. He's really the bulldog of Trump, that he is a Jew who is basically a white nationalist Jew. Of course, not in the Israel sense, not in the Israel sense, but in the sense that he is probably the most thirsty for brand deportations in the Trump administration. He is truly wanting to fix America, and in his view, that is true. Basically, an onslaught of deportations and criminalization that will clean up the whole of America. Trump was commenting that he is not so much of a forgiver.
In that private moment on his dying day, we find everything we need to know about who Charlie Kirk truly was. He was a missionary with a noble spirit and a great, great purpose. He did not hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them. That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent. And I don't want the best for them. I'm sorry. I am sorry, Erica. But now Erica can talk to me and the whole group, and maybe they can convince me that that's not right, but I can't stand my opponent.
So Trump doesn't have that whole Christian forgiving mentality. Interestingly, Tucker Carlson is probably the one who made the most noise, because he tried to make a parallel between the killing of Jesus and the killing of Charlie Kirk. And he did so while referring secret cabals of hummus-eating Jews, basically. Everyone was like, he's talking about the Jews.
Ultimately, he was a Christian evangelist. And it actually reminds me of my favorite story ever. So it's about 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and Jesus shows up and he starts talking about the people in power. And he starts doing the worst thing that you can do, which is telling the truth about people. And they hate it. And they just go bonkers. They hate it. And they become obsessed with making him stop. This guy's got to stop talking. We've got to shut this guy up. And I can just sort of picture the scene in a lamp-lit room with a bunch of guys sitting around eating hummus, thinking about, what do we do about this guy?
This was very planned. This is not random. To be bringing hummus is to be trying to be so at the edge that you can't quite say it's the Jews, you know, but it has to be the Jews because it's the people that killed Jesus Christ. So it's not the Muslims. The Muslims didn't exist. It's it's interesting how he tried to soften it and sugarcoat it, but ultimately he said what he wanted to say, that the Jews killed Jesus Christ, and it must have looked a little bit like how whatever group killed Charlie Kirk.
Telling the truth about us, we must make him stop talking. And there's always one guy with the bright idea, and I could just hear him say, I've got an idea, why don't we just kill him? That'll shut him up. That'll fix the problem.
That was a little weird of a laugh. Like, come on, Tucker. Even I, as a giga artist, I know you don't laugh like this when you talk about death. What the fuck is this laugh? The way it's positioned in the sentence, it makes zero sense. But I guess that what Tucker had in mind is, and he should have said it more explicitly, where the laughs could have been justified. He probably was thinking, you know, isn't it ironic how you tried to silence Jesus Christ, but his voice was amplified by your action? And you tried to silence Charlie Kirk, and his voice will be amplified by your actions. I think it's what he had in mind, that there is a contradiction here, but it should have been clearer. Jimmy Kimmel will be back on his show. So that was all bullshit. I felt it was bullshit because when they say a temporary suspension, indefinite suspension, and oh, we would like him to apologize and we would like him to give money to this foundation, that is not truly a big punishment. It's barely a punishment. You could say it's vacation. You could say it's just a strategic pause to let the sandstorm settle. So I've never been putting much hope in this Jimmy Kimmel firing or kind of firing, because I knew it wasn't a firing. There are Canadians farmers that are working at the Universal Ostrich Farm, and they're literally subjected to tactical teams from the government that are coming to kill their ostriches. It's like, because the ostrich somehow doesn't respect the law that you shouldn't have ostriches. I don't know. They've been defined as non-Canadian species, so you can't raise ostriches. It really sucks. It sucks that the government has so much control onto people. People should be able to have 400 ostriches. Ruth Sternwood says the 400 ostriches were supposed to get culled today. Yeah, and we saw some SWAT teams basically approaching the land and shooting toward the ostriches. I think it's what the videos show. I haven't followed in detail. Why are we doing this? Frog Eyes says, JF, did the whole fiasco that required you to flee from Quebec to Alberta create the situation that led, the issues that led to your relationship ending? I guess you could say it may have added some stress, because the problem with women in my life is that they all think they're very strong. But it's like, you have no idea. Like, being the girlfriend of JF is a little bit like joining CIA or joining the KGB. It's like, yeah, you're gonna have to act like maybe there's polonium in your glass. Yeah, there's gonna be a couple of traps you don't want to fall into. And in fact, I believe to an extent, maybe Mama JF fell for one of these traps. Maybe Mama JF went out there, got too advertised in certain communities of trucker. I need a lift. I need, and she kind of thought that maybe she can go along and be free and homeless like she used to be before me. But it's like, it's a different thing. Once you're Mama JF, once you're Mama JF, you are a target. And maybe in the end, there is a deep reason why she disappeared that's related to me. Maybe it was a political hit of some sort, or maybe someone recognized her and it led down the line to some murder or some kidnapping. I don't know. I have no idea. But these theories are important. Now you ask, is it related? Well, maybe it added pressure. Maybe it led a person who thought she wasn't a normie to realize that maybe you're more of a normie than you think. Maybe it's not for you, because all women, they have this capacity of adventure, this adventurer mentality. And at the beginning of a relationship, they will be exactly like this. They will be like, I'm willing to follow you anywhere. And I don't care what people say, and I don't care what they do to stop us. But very few women are actually like that. If she doesn't have tattoos, if she doesn't have a history of literally being on LSD on the everyday, she's most likely a normie, and she's most likely trained stuff in her brain that will eventually come back. Very dangerous to trust the adventurer nature of women if they are not roughened by the world. One thing I discover, you know, with this whole thing is some people are so, they have so little interaction with the world. They haven't been roughened by the streets enough. And in a way, there is something in the roughening that happens on the street. Like Mama JF was a homeless, just crazy drug party person. She became a very good mother just for a temporary window, and then she went back out. But Mama JF was roughened by the street in a way that made her ultimately more honest than even a high-level, you know, convinced radical Christian. And that is something we should know. That is something we should know, that there are things I never had to worry about Mama JF that I had to worry about with most other women, and even those who think that their morals are better than hers. And this is very meaningful, because ultimately you have the Shiloh Hendricks type of tattooed trailer trash. They come with a morality that is aligned in a very interesting way. I love these women, because they will follow you in a trailer. They do not care. They will follow you anywhere. And on the other end, the woman who is connected to the hyper-socialized world, she has those expectations. Oh, I need the best of care. I need the best of this. I need the best of that. And the best is always some fucking liberal doctor trained in a liberal university to basically scam the government out of money for treatment that is not needed. The Shiloh Hendricks type with tattoos and street person, I love their morality, because they are equally, they know what's going on. They know it's a scam. They won't fall for it. Reclaim Man says, Mama JF seemed genuine, but it's a shame she left. Yeah. Gay Anal Sex says, Mama JF was closer to God than any normie Christian. That's an interesting take from someone named Gay Anal Sex. Your nickname is Gay Anal Sex, bro. But thank you for your hypothesis. Bullshit coverage by Ian Carroll. Evidence is mounting that Tyler Robinson is just a patsy, and the real shooter was somewhere else completely. Absolute bullshit.
Breaking news, folks. Turns out, Charlie Kirk had bones of steel, strong enough to stop bullets. We just got our first bit of actual confirmation about findings of the autopsy, and they make the story even more unbelievable, if you could believe it. We'll tell you more all about that in just a minute. But the important thing is that Tyler Robinson is safe and sound in FBI custody, waiting for all the cameras to shut off and the guards to take a nap so that he can do a little bit of bedsheet.
Okay, stop with the fucking insinuations and get to the fucking point. Holy shit.
Origami. The FBI has charged him with aggravated murder, along with a host of other supporting charges, and are seeking the death penalty. It turns out Tyler Robinson almost got away clean, leaving the scene with no evidence, except for a detailed text message confession about how he used his firearm to eliminate the acquired target, and then got into his vehicle and was on the lam for 0800 hours. Pay no attention to the fact that we now know that the FBI has footage of the shooter taking the shot, and they specifically cut the video they released to start just after that part. Obviously, not because he never took the shot, probably never even had the rifle on the roof.
So just because you don't have the moment where he pushes the trigger, you assume that the shot must not have happened. And there's this whole talk that's going on by these conspiracy crappists of the internet that just spout crap on the everyday. They come to me and they say, oh, there's a coroner that says he had bones of steel, ha ha ha. And it's like, because there's some friend of Charlie Kirk at TPUSA that spoke with the surgeon related to the coroner autopsy. And from this distant telephone game, we don't even know when the TPUSA guy quotes with quotation mark that, oh, it seems like Charlie Kirk had some sort of bones of steel because the bullet didn't pass through. It's a manner of speech. It's not even clear that the surgeon used these words. It may be that the TPUSA guy just embellished them with his Christian view of the world and, oh, it's a miracle. It's like, no, it is not evidence that the autopsy is botched or that the surgeon is unprofessional. It is a figure of speech in a telephone game sub-quoting by a non-journalist. That is what's happening. Now they're like, oh, look, Jeff, you believe this? But first, before you even ask yourself if you believe something, ask yourself if you've properly captured something. Ask yourself, am I conceiving of what this thing is first before I believe it or not? Ask yourself, what are we looking at when a TPUSA, friend of Charlie Kirk, that's a Christian, claims miracles and quotation mark, quoting a surgeon. Is that the surgeon speaking? No, it is not! So shut the fuck up with your conspiracies. And as a last news item for tonight, the hope for peace for the Palestinians and Israelis, according to Keir Starmer. So we had Canada, UK, and Australia, and now today France, recognize the state of Palestine. What does that mean? I think it's very late. It's like, why do you wait so long before you try to stop a genocide? What the fuck? Like, we could see it was a genocide 1 year ago, 2 years ago. Why didn't you stop it then? Or even before that, even before October 7th. So it's always disappointing when these official voices join the truth once it's too late, because it's like, to what extent are you just trying to seal up after the damage is done? 70 years too late, says Greg Agrogog. Yes, in a way. That being said, it's a good decision, I think. Now, it will create tension, because now you have the US basically controlled by Jewish interests. They're the only country at this point that is kind of denying this genocide or pursuing those people who are affirming it. And then Israel. So you have the US and Israel very isolated. But the US and Israel have been isolated before. People will remember wars in Iran, Afghanistan, where other countries were telling them, you're doing wrong here. You shouldn't do that. And they were doing it. So it wouldn't be the first time that it doesn't matter what these Western nations say. But at the same time, it's a good decision, and perhaps it will be a path to peace. I believe that the next thing to check for is what will happen to Netanyahu. I think Netanyahu will get replaced at some point, and he will be reinterpreted in history as the bad guy. They're going to throw him under the bus, and they're going to try to redevelop a Jewish history of the denial of Netanyahu. They're going to be like, oh, he was evil. I think they're going to try to get away with, oh, let him commit the genocide and then say he's evil. That's my prediction. Anyways, much love, everyone. Sleep well. Be careful. There are sharks out there.